I was and remain a strong proponent of our enhanced interrogation program. The interrogations were used on hardened terrorists after other efforts had failed. They were legal, essential, justified, successful, and the right thing to do.
The Fuller Brush Man selling torture. Anyway, welcome back to Harbaugh. Not so fast, Mr. Vice President there. Dick Cheney's certitude, you just heard, is being challenged in a Senate Intelligence Committee report on the CIA's detention and interrogation program itself. The 6,300-page report remains classified, but Washington Post reporters interviewed current and former U.S. officials with knowledge of it who said the report concludes the CIA misled the government and the public about torture program, concealed details about severity of methods, overstated significance of plots and prisoners, took credit for critical pieces of intelligence that detainees had given up before being subjected to torture. Again, Dick Cheney defended the torture program and the caliber of a detainee it targeted.
It is a fact that only detainees of the highest intelligence value were ever subjected to enhanced interrogation.
But according to the Washington Post in today's front page story, the Senate Intelligence Committee review will show, quote, detainees' credentials were exaggerated. Tomorrow, Senator Dianne Feinstein, who chairs the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence, is expected to hold a vote on her 15-member committee on whether to release a 400-page summary of the report. That's a 400-page summary of a 6,300-page report. Joining me right now is Ron Suskind, Pulitzer Prize-winning author of four books on presidential power, including the Bush-Cheney administration, and whose new book, Life Animated, is about the unique and remarkable way his autistic son has learned to communicate. Greg Miller is a national security reporter for the Washington Post, a correspondent there who co-wrote today's front page story. Greg, we got to start with you. This is so complete a statement that it just rocks me to say in this breathtaking claim or report, the Senate committee is saying basically that torture never helped us. Is that a fair statement?
Yeah, I think that's their bottom line conclusion, that there's just really no evidence looking at these millions of CIA internal records that using enhanced interrogation methods ever produced any sort of intelligence breakthrough that was of significant significant value and couldn't have been obtained through other means.
Well, what's the motive for lying here? What's the motive for saying it does work, it did work?
Well, you know, as we said in the story today, one of the things the committee avoids doing is trying to assign motives. But, I mean, institutionally, you can guess that the agency, you know, at the time that it set this program up, set these prisons up, it was under a ton of pressure. And there was a lot of concern that that there was another wave of plots already set in motion. And, you know, you do that, you want to believe that this is worthwhile, that this is necessary. The Senate Intelligence Committee just finished, you know, spending years scrubbing the agency's own internal files to see whether there's any evidence that really stacks up.
Ron, you're a great reporter and a great writer, and I just want to make a point, and maybe you agree with me or not. It seems to me the real evil of this past administration, the one under Bush and Cheney, was conflation. They would conflate 9/11 with the need to attack and take over Iraq. They would conflate something called WMD with nuclear. They would always conflate to their advantage. And here, they're accused now by the Senate Intelligence Committee of conflating all kinds of information that were developed from prisoner interviews or interrogations with what was gotten from torture. They love to catch people in their laziness, where the average newspaper reader or TV viewer isn't going to sit down and analyze these quick little shell games they pull. They're just not thinking that quick or that intensively. And they use that against the viewer, the citizenry. Your thoughts in this regard?
I lived that shell game, Chris. Run back the clock. In 2006, almost all of these allegations were in the 1% Doctrine, my 2006 book. That created a crisis. The White House and the CIA together put out a disinformation campaign. That was led by a guy named John Curacao, the only guy from the CIA from all of this mess who's now in jail. He is in jail for leaking to the press. What he leaked that was most valuable to the White House, however, was that interrogation really worked. It worked quickly, and it worked on Abu Zubaydah. That bought them time, enough time for the actors involved to get off the stage in 2008. That's what happens here. They misled the Senate because it was part of a larger disinformation campaign in the American public. Let's be clear, that is illegal. Illegal by virtue of the NSA, the National Security Act of 1947, which empowers the CIA, amended in 1991. You cannot run disinformation campaigns on the American public as an intelligence agency. It's the law. You're supposed to go to jail.
Yeah, well,
that's actionable.
Well, the vice president would be guilty of that, wouldn't he?
Absolutely. And everyone involved in this at that time would be involved. And more than that, I would be interested in who gave the disinformation to Curacao, probably set him up. Then he leaked it to the press. Then he becomes the guy who gets taken down. This is a very classic model that the CIA uses many times. A certain guy leaks the information, maybe unknowingly, and he gets taken down. This was not the CIA believing something it didn't know to be true. This was a CIA under intense pressure from the administration, from the White House, Bush and Cheney, to give them what Bush and Cheney said they needed. This is all
okay,
part
well,
of the same
way,
thing.
Okay, by the way, you've conflated it with W, and I think it's always been the G2 of this past administration was the vice president's
well,
office.
No, anyway, W was involved in all of the briefings as to what the yield from interrogation was or was not. That's very clear from the presidential daily briefs.
As well as Cheney. Okay, anyway, Greg Miller, the report you put out today is that neither Congress nor the Department of Justice got the full story on the terror program. Your article quotes a U.S. official briefed on the Senate Intelligence Report saying, quote, the CIA described its program repeatedly, both to the Department of Justice and eventually to Congress, as getting unique, otherwise unobtainable intelligence that helped disrupt terrorist plots and save thousands of lives. Was that actually true? The answer is no. So that's a pretty good assessment of what your report comes out to, isn't it? Nothing.
Sure.
Nothing.
Sure.
All the torture, all the moral embarrassment and guilt of our government not yielding any use, even with KSM, apparently, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, apparently that includes that case. No information of value, right?
Well, look, so what the committee did here was interesting. I mean, they did detailed case studies of every prisoner in CIA custody over the last 12 or 13 years. And they looked at when intelligence came through, when and under what conditions it was produced. And in our story today, we talk about a couple of egregious cases. You know, Abu Zubaydah is one, and Hassan Gul is another, where the agency had a tendency, when talking about the intelligence gained from these prisoners, would conflate what they gave up in the early session before they were subjected to any enhanced techniques with what they then provided later. And the committee's report concludes that by far the most valuable stuff came before they were waterboarded or subjected to any of those measures.
I've heard that before. I've heard that through the grapevine. Thank you, Ron Suskind. You report a lot of this stuff early. I congratulate you on that. And Greg Miller, great front page story today. Up next, conservatives say the feminists have it all wrong.